भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, A Description of the Island of Jambudvip, Text Number 16. And there's no board today because this is a prose verse and it's very long. Very long. So we'll just read the translation. In the tract of land known as Bharatavarsh, as in Ilavritavarsh, there are many mountains and rivers. Some of the mountains are known as Malaya, Mangala Prast, Mainak, Trikut, Rishabha, Kutak, Kolak, Salya, Devagiri, Rishamukh, Sri Shaila, Venkat, Mahendra, Varidhar, Vindhya, Shutiman, Rikshagiri, Paryatra, Drona, Chitrakut, Govardhan, Raivatak, Kakub, Nila, Gokamukha, Indrakila, and Kamagiri. Besides these, there are many other hills with many large and small rivers flowing from their slopes. Texts 17 and 18, which are also also a very long prose verse. Again, we'll read the translation. Two of the rivers, Brahmaputra and the Shona, are called Nadas, or main rivers. There are other great rivers that are very prominent. Chandravasa, Tamraparni, Avatoda, Kritamala, Vaihayasi, Kaveri, Veni, Payashvini, Sharkaravarta, Tungabhadra, Krishna Venya, Bhimarati, Godavari, Nirvinja, Payoshni, Tapi, Reva, Surasa, Narmada, Charmanvati, Mahanadi, Vedasmriti, Rishikulya, Trishama, Koshiki, Mandakini, Yamuna, Saraswati, Trishavati, Gomati, Sarayu, Rodasvati, Saptavati, Sushoma, Shatadru, Chandrabhaga, Maruvridha, Vitasta, Asikni, and Vishva. The inhabitants of Bharatavarsh are purified because they always remember these rivers. Sometimes they chant the names of these rivers as mantras, and sometimes they go directly to the rivers to touch them and bathe in them. Thus the inhabitants of Bharatavarsh become purified. Purport. All these rivers are transcendental. Therefore, one can be purified by remembering them, touching them, or bathing in them. This practice is still going on. Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chashulan Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shiguru Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigurum Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakam Vitam Shah. He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jigatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gora Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here is the description of some of the rivers, the sacred rivers of the island of Jambudweep. So we have a mantra, I know that we chant in the puja, because generally we bathe Krishna with the sacred rivers, especially that of the Ganges. Srila Prabhupada always used the word, or most of the time used the word Ganges. I think the Sanskrit word is Ganga. But I think because of the, just of the influence of the West and the English-speaking countries, therefore he went to the common pronunciation of Ganges. So, anyway, we understand what he's referring to. Mother Ganga, and this mantra goes Ganga, Gange cha Jamuna chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Jalismin Sanidim Kuru. We're chanting this, holding our sacred thread, and we're calling the sacred rivers to come for the puja. As we know, there are entire chapters devoted to Mother Ganga in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are so many pastimes involving Mother Ganga. So many of Krishna's pastimes, so many of Lord Vamanadeva's pastimes. There are the pastimes of Maharaj Parikshit. As we know, he sat down near the banks of the, sometimes it said the Yamuna, sometimes it said the Ganga, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are the pastimes of Lord Shiva accepting the Ganga on his head. The Ganga was prayed for, I think it was by Maharaj Bhagirath, wasn't it, to come down from the causal ocean, from the transcendental toe of Lord Vamanadeva. And so many other pastimes, the pastimes of Lord Shiva with Maharaj Daksha and Mother Sati, the Pandavas after the Battle of Kurukshetra, they went to the Ganges to mourn and honor all the departed souls. And as we know, almost all the devotees, when they leave their body, at least this is my prayer, for whoever can be involved with it. When I leave my body, please put my ashes either in the Ganga or some sacred river so that, as far as I understand, Srila Prabhupada explains that when the ashes are spread into the sacred river, then we are liberated, given a special benediction. Similarly, while we are alive, it's explained that we should take advantage of bathing in these sacred rivers. I didn't yet mention Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So many pastimes on the banks of the Ganges, Mother Ganga. And so many of his associates lived on the Ganga. And so many other sages. Did I mention Lord Kapila Dev? He traveled the Ganga, went to the source of the Ganga, and then he followed the Ganga down to the, I guess it's called the Bay of Bengal there, and that's known as the Ganga Sagara. Still to this day, it's understood that Lord Kapila's ashram is there. And so many other ashrams are on the bank of the Ganges, some on the mouth of the Ganges, as far as we understand, Vyasadeva is still there meditating, as so many other sages are still meditating. They're at the mouth of the Ganga. Their Tirtha is in such a remote place, practically speaking, you cannot venture there. You may be able to approach it one time a year during the summer, what's considered the summer, but even then, it's very, very cold and very difficult to reach their Tirtha. And to reach there, it's understood you're supposed to perform so many austerities. Some devotees explained to me that there's one place, I think it's 108 bathing. I don't know how to explain it, but there are these bathing places that you go to. There's 108, and the water is freezing cold, and you're supposed to bathe under each one before you enter, you know, to get purified. And mostly no one can do it. So freezing, the water is so freezing cold. But anyway, this is just the Ganges. Let alone we know Krishna's pastimes associated with the Yamuna. How many loving pastimes he had with his devotees, especially the gopis. But other pastimes with Kaliya and the Yamuna. And if I remember correctly, Nanda Maharaj was stolen by the demigod of the Yamuna and taken just so that the demigod could see Lord Krishna, get the association of Krishna. And then of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes with these sacred rivers. So for sure, definitely, when we go to these sacred rivers, we should make sure that we take bath in these rivers. There is no doubt about it. One will be purified. This is the special mercy of these sacred rivers. I can remember when I first time I went to India, this was 1976. So I think the leaders of the party made sure we bathed every day, either in the Ganga while we were in Mayapur. As Prabhupada explained, he established our most important centers, our two international headquarters, one in Mayapur and, of course, one in Vrindavan, near the sacred rivers. Of course, the Ganga is so close to our headquarters in Mayapur, by Krishna's mercy. And then in Vrindavan, the Yamuna is not very far, so... And while we were there, Srila Prabhupada made sure that we only drank the water from the Ganges. At least this was reported by the leaders of the party. I can remember at that time I was a brahmachari. I don't think I even had one paisa in my pocket to buy sodas or purified water. So the understanding was we were given a clay pot, and that we would swim out to the depths of the Ganges, and we would take the water from below the surface. This was explained by our party leaders who just came from Srila Prabhupada's association, that we should take this clay pot. We were all given a clay pot for our room, as far as I understand. Drigupati shaking his head, remembering these transcendental pastimes. There are two ways to engage in Krishna's... Well, there are so many ways to engage in Krishna's service, but when we're sometimes going out for engaging in austerities of preaching and Hari Nam, it is a great hurdle. It's a great hurdle to cross. When we hear the transcendental sankirtan scores in the morning, it is nothing automatic that the devotees are going to go out and automatically today they're going to have these scores. As Bhrigupati Prabhu was explaining, that many times we hear the same scores, but the devotees, they struggle. It is a great struggle to win over the hearts of the conditioned souls, to take Srila Prabhupada's books or to engage them in hearing the holy name. As we know on Harinam, it is a very similar situation. Most people wish we weren't there. But everyone is affected. It's so powerful. Everyone is affected by the chanting, by the book distribution. Somehow when you're at the airport, the book distribution, the energy is so powerful. Everyone is affected by the book distribution, practically speaking. And if you just go to stop one person, practically speaking, they must stop. As Prabhupada explained, because we're performing yajna. Yajna, the performance of yajna is so powerful. Prabhupada explained that by its performance, it will bestow upon you all desirable things. All desirable things. Whatever it is that we want. We may think we want so many things. Just like everyone yesterday, everywhere I went, everyone was talking about the Lakers. They have to win. See, there's so many desires that we have in the material world. Endless desires. But Krishna consciousness purifies us of so many of these desires. In so many different ways we get purified. The Charanamrita that we drink every morning is non-different than the Ganges. Non-different because it has bathed the lotus feet of Krishna. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada tells remarks. I picked so many places to read from, but somehow it seems like there's always very little time. I looked at my watch this morning and we began class at 20 till. And the kirtan should end at 7:25 is posted somewhere where the kirtan schedule is. Maybe that's it. So it's supposed to end at 7:25 because Srila Prabhupada did want us to have a 45-minute class. This is mentioned in many places in his letters. He managed his movement through his letters while he was here. Wrote so many letters and then he asked so many times that they be published and distributed. How many devotees here have read Srila Prabhupada's letters? I don't think that's even half. These letters are so important. They're so important to hear these letters. And many devotees criticized when they were published. Oh, these are confidential. These are personal. No, Srila Prabhupada wanted them published. And by Krishna's mercy, the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, can we publish these letters? I remember one letter, Brahmananda Swami. One letter Srila Prabhupada replied. He was Swami at the time, Brahmananda Prabhu. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, please publish these letters and distribute them. Many times Srila Prabhupada was asked the same question. He said, I've answered this question so many times in so many letters. Why aren't they being published and distributed? So, anyway, we were speaking about, oh, how Srila Prabhupada wanted a 45-minute class. So, because the purpose of hearing and chanting, even though the Ganges is so powerful, oh, I was remembering how Srila Prabhupada, he was explaining how he had one friend who was very prominent in Kolkata when Srila Prabhupada was living there. And he remarked how this friend never went to see a doctor. Whenever he had some abnormality or imbalance in his body, he would simply drink the water from the Ganga. So as I was explaining, Srila Prabhupada told us that we should take the Ganges water from below the surface, and then we would swim back. The Ganges is a very powerful river. I'm guessing it flows at least 25 or 30 miles an hour. Very faster? Less? That's why so many devotees have. Every year, someone leaves their body and they're swept away by the Ganges. Every year. So you think it's less? 15 miles an hour? She's singing goes very fast. Anyway, it is a very powerful river. Very powerful river. And as I said, every year, at least one or two devotees are captured by the Ganga and never to be seen again. during the Mayapur Festival or other festivals also. But anyway, we would swim back, and then you would leave the pot sit for one day, and then you would drink the water. And we would only drink the Ganges water. And Srila Prabhupada remarks how his friend would be cured by any abnormality. Prabhupada said, when we're there, we should swim regularly in the Ganga. And then he said, if you're in a situation where you can't swim near the Ganga, then swim in the ocean. Very powerful, purifying agents that Krishna gives us. The British were always, they were amazed how if they filled their water from other places, that it would go rancid. But if they filled their ships, probably made this remark quite often in his classes, that if the British, they would fill their ships from the Ganga, the water would remain fresh. As far as I know, recently there was a scientific experiment done. Not that we depend on scientific experiments, but anyway, they validated by their technology that the Ganges water remained pure after so long, whereas other water became contaminated with germs. So even though so many pastimes in the Ganges is so powerful, still it's explained that unless we are able to take the association of the devotees that live there. This is the one verse I wanted to end with, or begin the end of the discussion with. Yat pada samshraya sutta munaya prasamayanaha sajya punanchupashprishta swadunyapo nusevaya. O sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 1, Text 15. Purport, pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the waters of the sacred river Ganges. One can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use of the Ganges waters, but one can be sanctified at once by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that any person, regardless of birth, as Shudra, woman, or merchant, can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and by so doing, can return to Godhead. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. The pure devotees, whose only business is serving, are honored by the names Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicate such devotees to be representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord. Anyone, therefore, who takes shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee by accepting the pure devotee as his spiritual master, can be at once purified. Such devotees of the Lord are honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, for they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls whom the Lord wants to return home back to Godhead. Such pure devotees are better known as vice lords, according to revealed scriptures. The sincere disciple of the pure devotee considers the spiritual master equal to the Lord, but always considers himself to be a humble servant of the servant of the Lord. This is the pure devotional path. So vice lord, as far as I understand, means that they especially had this system in India. I don't know if they any longer use the word vice lord, but maybe in some third world countries. But in India, during the British rule, they had the representative of the government known as the vice lord. And practically speaking, he, as I said, he represented that government. So in the same way, the pure devotee is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as if the country, the different government officials, they met with the vice lord and they gave them different gifts. The vice lord was to deliver these gifts to the mother country. They weren't personal gifts. They were not personal gifts. So he would never consider them his own. So in the same way, whatever is given to the pure devotee, to the spiritual master, we should understand this to be given directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains many places that Krishna cannot be approached directly. He has to be approached by the pure devotee. And this is why the preacher is so important. Because the preacher, he goes out and he begins. He's known as the Varma Pradarshika Guru. He begins the devotional service of the conditioned soul. Because they have no other means. They've had no other contact with devotional service. So the preacher, by his empowerment, by Krishna's empowerment, he is that representative. He is able to give them that connection and begin their... He's planting the seed. He's beginning their devotional service. And at the time of death, that devotional service will be greatly appreciated. It's like I met my brother recently. I met one brother. I have not seen this brother for 41 years. So somehow we were connected by the death of our father. The law is, there's what's called probate, and the law is that you have to send out a mailer. So my father, so many times he wanted to get in touch with this brother, but he didn't know how to do it. So he asked me, do I know how? I said, I don't know how to do it. So my younger brother, who does all kinds of things, he works for the federal government, so he does all kinds of research for them, and somehow he knew how to do that. I don't know why he didn't do it while my father was alive, but because my father wanted to get in touch. The bond with the father and the son never finishes. So similarly, our bond with Krishna, it is eternal. Krishna is hoping so much. This is why he gives us so much facility to go back home, back to Godhead. He gives us the preachers who go out and endure insults and so many other offenses that are there. Just in Kali Yuga, the nature is going against the preacher. Totally going against the preacher, going against devotional service. The people are standing there smoking, drinking a beer, and eating hamburger, and you have to somehow or other tolerate their insult or try to preach Krishna consciousness to them if they ask, or try to sell them a book. I can remember so many times trying to sell a book. We would work the fast food restaurants during the noon rush, and the person would be smoking a cigarette and eating a hamburger and somehow or other looking at the Bhagavad Gita. It was just totally Krishna's mercy. So simply by coming in contact, of course, my real interest in meeting my brother, I didn't want to go to his home. He seems to be very successful in material life. Lives in Laguna Niguel, which is a fairly prestigious area to live in. Has a large place there. So my interest was, oh, come here. Meet me here. And, oh, can you come to prasadam time? Come at prasadam time. And, oh, here's a large plate of prasadam. And he finished the entire plate. I was very happy about that. And he took home another huge plate of prasadam along with the cakes and the cookies and the pies that they had. This was on a Sunday. So there are so much ammunition that we have that we should take advantage of. When we go to the holy places, we should definitely, bathe in the sacred rivers. We take advantage of the prasadam. You know, we should make an announcement at the class that when the cell phones go off, the people must purchase the Bhagavad Gita. So then they say, no, I already have the Bhagavad Gita. No, but to sit in the class, you still must purchase another one. And if you already have one, then you can distribute that Bhagavad Gita. You should distribute that Bhagavad Gita. So if anyone wants to stay in this class, if the cell phone goes off again, you must purchase the Bhagavad Gita. This is a request in front of the deities. So if you stay, that means you agree that you must purchase the Bhagavad Gita. And if you say you already have one, then you purchase it and you distribute that Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone disagree with that? Everyone agrees? If you stay, it means that you agree. So even if you don't agree publicly, just by staying, you agree. So hopefully my phone will go off. I can buy a Bhagavad Gita and distribute it. Let's all turn our cell phones on and distribute some Bhagavad Gitas in the class. But anyway, we take advantage of whatever facility we have. We have so much facility that Krishna has given us. How hard is it to take the Charanamrita every morning? And Prabhupada notes, it will cure disease. There are histories of the Charanamrita curing diseases. There are, of course, so many histories of the holy name, so many histories of the book distribution, Sura Prabhu, many times. Practically speaking, I feel some of the best classes are when he reads these letters from the conditioned souls that receive Srila Prabhupada's books. I would love if we could have these classes daily of the different testimonials and of the Harinam, just like we heard recently how this person was so appreciative of the Harinam. It made him feel, get out of his depression, made him feel good. So we take advantage of all these, especially we take advantage of the association. Especially we should take advantage of the association. And what is that advantage? Is that by this association we should strengthen our Krishna consciousness. We should somehow become more involved in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become more involved. He wanted the temple devotees to increase. This was Srila Prabhupada's mood. So somehow we're trying to carry on that mood. So I would like to leave some time for questions or comments. Anyone has? Share some experiences of bathing in the Ganges or other experiences that devotees may have. Bathing in the Yamuna. I know the devotees in Vrindavan are constantly trying to keep these rivers sanctified. Recently they were trying to build some bridge, and they also in India they build factories on the sacred rivers. I know that the devotees have taken part in cleaning up the sacred rivers, because even though the devotees understand they can never be contaminated, but still the demons, they do their best to cover over the glories. And at different times, it's even unsafe to bathe in them. Although the spiritual instruction is that we will move away the bubbles of foam, but in Kali Yuga, the challenge is there that if they become so polluted, then we understand that they become covered, not that the sacred river is polluted, but they become covered by the demonic forces. So Sachi Tanoi Prabhu had a comment or a question. We're going to bring the microphone for... There's a large internet audience. I don't know how many are listening or watching, but usually it's...
Well, thank you very much. The recommendation of the scriptures is always given that for a family member or for someone who dies, you... put your ashes in the Ganges River. And it appears that it's more emphasis in the Ganges River than you almost never hear about the Yamuna River, like the ashes should be thrown there. So can you comment on that? Even you know, great sages and most of the pastimes are usually done in the Ganges. And we know that Krishna personally, he's fond of the Yamuna. river. That's his particular pastime. But still, you know, the Ganges River is, you can read stories of great sages and mystics, and it appears to be like a little bit above in glories. But can you mention something? Can you make a comment?
Well, my realization on the matter is that they are all equally powerful. I think it's described that the Yamuna is considered more powerful because Krishna had his pastimes. He graced the Yamuna with his lotus feet. But as far as I understand, that all of the rivers are coming from the Mother Ganga. That's my understanding. As far as I understand, they're all connected somehow or other. It may be transcendentally, like how does the Ganges flow? The sages can use the Ganges for traveling to the higher planetary systems. So there's some transcendental arrangement. And it does seem that there are many more references to the Ganges. I know I studied about the first 100 references of the Ganges. There were 2,500 on the Veda base, more than 2,500 references to the Ganges. I didn't even put in Ganga. But anyway, just the word Ganges had so many. But if my ashes are put into the Ganges or the Yamuna, I'll just consider myself extremely, extremely blessed, extremely fortunate. We consider all of them transcendental, just like there's the Mahaprasad, but even the regular Prasad is so powerful. We understand that the Prasadam that comes directly off of Krishna's plate is known as Mahaprasad. And then we understand that the spiritual master leaves some remnants of the Mahaprasad, it becomes Maha-Maha-Prasadam. But all Prasadam is so transcendental. I think there's a story where a tiger happened to eat a sage who had just finished eating prasadam. So the tiger was liberated because of that prasadam. You know that story? Prabhupada tells that story. So powerful is prasadam, let alone maha prasad, and then maha maha. So these are all transcendental adjustments. You know, that is the Yamuna greater than the Ganges? Are the Narmadi, Kaveri, Saraswati, all these transcendental? Prabhupada, in the purport to this one, he said all these rivers are sacred. And there's, how many rivers are mentioned? 40? 40 rivers are mentioned. So, you know, very, very transcendental. Somebody else had a comment, or Mukunda Prabhu?
Yeah, this. These are all places that are still here in Bharatvarsha. You can visit them. I know where about half of them are. Probably someone knows more than that. But it's interesting because Prabhupada says they're all transcendental. And the text here says that one can be purified just by remembering even their names. That's their potency. But and although Prabhupada wrote some...
Yeah, we say every day, Yamuna Mayi Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. That's why we say that.
Yeah, we don't really hear so much about, for example, the Tapi, which flows through Surat, or the Narmada, which flows through the place where Vamanadeva had his
pastimes. Now, I think you're giving your opinion, right?
Sorry?
You're giving your opinion that we don't care so much for them.
I didn't say we didn't care about them.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
We don't really hear about them so much.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Godavari is there, Bhimarati, Vikrishnavenva, Kaveri, Chandrabhaga, Vitasta, Asikni, and Shatadru are in modern-day Punjab. But the thing is that it's being lost. People are losing interest in hearing about these things, and people are losing interest in respecting the sacred rivers. As you mentioned, they're polluting them. So it's not inconceivable that through the influence of the age of Kali, people can forget all about them entirely, as they already have. For example, in Punjab, nobody respects the Sindhu River in Punjab, in Pakistan anymore, because they don't believe in it. They've lost that faith. But Prabhupada does mention that they're transcendental, and one can be purified even just by hearing about them or just by their names alone. Rivers are there, and also some of the mountains are here. We know some of the mountains, Govardhana, Chitrakoot, Venkata, for example, are pretty famous places of pilgrimage still, but a lot of them are unknown for the same reasons.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, Omkar Prabhu has a comment or a question.
It is a comment. You were talking about the flow of the Ganges earlier. During class, I looked it up, and it has an average flow rate of 12,105 cubic meters per second. That's considering the whole year. That's the monsoon season and also the dry season averaged out. So that works out to roughly 50 miles an hour.
50?
Yeah. 50 miles an hour.
Prigupati's in disbelief. Prigupati is in disbelief. But anyway, it's very powerful. But we're talking about now, it's, of course, it's not material, the river Ganges. But the real power of the river Ganges is its purifying effect. And all the different transcendental pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, and so many other different pastimes. So we should definitely, even though we have that shloka, yatirtabhuti salilena karichit, janeshva vigeshu saiva, that if we only go to bathe in the Ganga, we're no better than the stupid animals, is what it's saying. Stupid, because animals are in the mode of ignorance. Prabhu has one last comment. Well, why don't you speak it into the mic, because there's so many devotees listening. But the materially, we're saying it close 50 miles an hour. But the real force, the real strength of the Ganga is its pastimes. Yes, Prabhu?
Yeah, Radhanath Maharaj tells that story in his book about how when he was becoming a devotee, he was traveling, he was meditating on the Ganges, and at the Ganges, and he was going out into little island and meditating.
Going out where?
Radhanath Maharaj. I think he was traveling to the ashram or something like that. Anyway, at one point he was, for about 7 days straight, he was meditating and sitting on this little island within the Ganges River every day, and he was meditating. And one day he thought to play his, what's it called? Harmonica. He had a harmonica that he was very fond of playing. So he started playing that, and then he realized, this is my last attachment. So he offered the harmonica into the Ganges River, right? And then shortly thereafter that, he was meditating and he heard the Hare Krishna mantra. And the way he describes it in the book was like he heard it from the river. He kind of heard the Hare Krishna mantra coming from the Ganges River. So that's kind of like a mystical story from him.
Jai. River Ganges ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.